You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
This morning I'm going to begin in part two of The Art of Hearing God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation, chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. And it says this, "He who has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who's victorious, I will grant the right to eat at the tree of life in paradise of God." Those who have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. The title of this message is Art of Hearing God, Part 2, Voices. Recognizing the difference between my voice, the spirit of fear, and the Holy Spirit's voice. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. I thank you for your tangible presence that has been here all day. We say here, we don't make room for you, we give you the room. Lord, we just declare right now, have your way in this place. This service isn't for anyone here, this service is for you. I pray that you would receive our sacrifice of praise. Lord, I pray right now and I declare your word is true and every spirit of fear is a liar. Lord, we declare right now, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying. We declare again, no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. Father, I thank you that nobody came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Come on, say it with me. Say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Quick recap for part one of The Art of Hearing God. It is easy to hear God when you're in his presence. And the voice of God, what you hear, how you hear God is you hear the Holy Spirit speaking. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God. And an art of hearing God is to get into his presence and start talking to him. This morning we're talking about the different voices that you hear. There's three primary voices that you hear. You hear your voice, you hear the spirit of fear, and you hear the Holy Spirit's voice. But I opened up with a scripture in Revelation, and four more times in the book of Revelation, it says the similar phrase. It says, those that have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. Once again, that denotes that the Holy Spirit is the voice of God. He's the one talking. But it says, those that have an ear to hear, let him hear. What is scripture saying? It's saying that you need spiritual ears to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. I want to lay hands on your ears this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us spiritual ears to recognize and understand what you are saying to us today. And everyone said amen. I pray this every day. I pray this all the time. Every time I preach at Mercy Culture, I pray, give us ears to hear. And why am I saying that? Because you can preach I could preach the worst sermon in the world. I can mix up on my words. I can get lost. I can lose my place. I can mispronounce things. I could preach a poor sermon. But the Holy Spirit can breathe on his word and speak to you exactly what you need to hear when you need to hear it. That's why we say, or I pray, no one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. And it's funny because sometimes when I think that I have preached the worst, I've been preaching for 20 years. And sometimes I'll get done and I'll be like, what was I talking about? Was I even there? Heather, did that even make sense? And I'll leave feeling that way. And I'll have the most people come up to me like, wow, that was just so amazing, mind blown. They just, that was so profound. And when you said that, I'm like, I said, what? You said this, what? I had someone tell me yesterday, hey, we're walking in the prophetic word that you prophesied over our life 15 years ago. Do you remember? I'm like, no. Because I didn't have spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying to them. So we have spiritual ears. And we have to learn how to tune our ears to hear spiritually. You got to turn them on. You got to pay attention. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you hear. So three voices that you hear. The first voice you hear is your voice. You know what you sound like. And we're going to help you because we're trying to learn the art of hearing God. So let's recognize the three different voices that we hear so that we can begin to distinguish and recognize when it's God. So you know you. You know your quirks. You know your weirdness. You know your conniving. You know you. Come on, you know when you're saying it so many times so you believe yourself, but you don't believe yourself the whole time you're just saying it a bunch of times to believe yourself? Do anyone else do that, or is that just me? Okay, so what do you sound like? Your voice sounds like flesh. Your voice sounds like things that your flesh wants to do. Isn't it interesting that doing the things of the Spirit is challenging and doing the things of the flesh is so easy? Like, we have a Bible reading plan on the YouVersion app, and we encourage everybody to read the Bible every single day as a part of your daily encounter with God. And we have a 30-minute plan, and we have a 15-minute plan. We're not looking down on anybody that do the 15-minute plan, but it's amazing how hard the 30-minute plan is. But it's amazing how easy it is to watch 2 hours of Netflix at night. And that's only Netflix. You got Hulu, you got Amazon, you got Disney Plus, you got them all. You got a plethora. And you're frustrated because you've watched all the good shows already, but you haven't made it through Proverbs yet. Come on, somebody elbow your neighbor in the foyer. Just kidding, don't touch each other. Don't touch each other. But you know you. You know your voice. You know that you're drawn to flesh. You know you're drawn to things that aren't godly. Your natural flesh desires things that you're not supposed to have. Scripture says in 1 John 2:16, for what is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. You speak to you all the time, and you have to learn how to recognize your voice. I'll give you a story. I was ministering on the Crow Indian Reservation, and I got a great heart and passion for the First Nation people and Native Americans. And in 2013, the Lord gave me an open vision, and in the vision, they passed laws in America that made preaching the gospel hate speech. And they were throwing pastors and preachers in jail. But the laws that were passed that affected regular preachers in America did not affect the First Nation, because they're their own sovereign nation. And the Native Americans became the revivalists, the evangelists, back to America, back to the nation that disowned them. So because I saw that vision, I've had an obligation to serve our First Nation brothers and sisters. And so I was on the reservation, and I was ministering on the Crow Reservation, and I was ministering to about 100 pastors at a conference, and then we were doing a pastor's gathering. And so I'm there with the pastors, and I'm teaching on the Shabbat shout, how to turn atmospheres, how to shift atmospheres in the Spirit. So we're about to do a Shabbat shout, and all of a sudden one small little Native guy came up to me, and he threw a tallit around me. It's since become my tallit. He threw a tallit around me, which is just a prayer shawl. And he, all of a sudden, these guys everywhere just start pulling out shofars. I mean, from everywhere. I'm like, what are these? I mean, these are little crow ninjas. I mean, just pulling, just everywhere. Like, one person pulled like six of them out of his trench coat. I'm like, where did you get that from? And there's just like this line of army of shofar blowing Native Americans. And they're like, and this guy came up to me, and he holds his shofar up to me. I'm like, can't help you, bro. I said, I don't know how to blow that. And he shoved it in my chest, and he goes, yes, you can. And the thought that came through my head was, who are you talking to? True story, Pastor Bob. Who are you talking to? I am the guest speaker. They gave me water with the top already off. Hold on. And as soon as I thought, who are you talking to? I heard the Holy Spirit say, I'm talking to you. Then I felt dumb. Oh. And he goes, blow it. I'm like, all right, dude, this is going to be a disaster. Good thing. Like, one guy's recording. I'm like, bro, stop recording. And we counted to three, and I just blew on this shofar, and this thing blasted. The place shook under the power of God, and then we end up blowing shofars all over America ever since. Blowing shofars around this building's amazing miracles happens. Come on, how many thank God for the shofar? But my voice said, who do you think you are? That's what your voice sounds like too. Pride. Who are you to talk to me? This is my seat. This is my parking spot. This is mine. Your voice sounds like selfishness. I need 7,432 rolls of toilet paper. Like, something's wrong with you. You don't need toilet paper. You need a doctor, and it's not Corona. There's other issues going on.
that need to be fixed. Selfishness. Only think about yourself. The neighbor put his fence on 1 inch of my yard. You'll live. But so irritated. Everything's me. Everything's my needs, my desires. You know what reveals selfishness? Marriage. You know what destroys selfishness in a marriage? Children. Dad, just one more thing. What? Your voice sounds like selfishness. James 3:14 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfishness or selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false about truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but this is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be discord in every vile practice or every evil. I like what the Passion Translation says. It says, so whoever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, you will also find many troubles in every kind of meanness. Last night, we were having dinner, and so I was cooking leftover pizza, because that's what good fathers do. And my son and I were eating, and Peyton and Heather were out, and so Preston wouldn't eat his pizza. I'm like, dude, eat your pizza. And I feel like I have to, like, UFC fight this guy, like, to get him to eat his pizza. And I'm like, dude, eat your pizza, eat your pizza. I'm like, dude, don't get up from that counter again. Don't get up. Can I have a juice? No. Can I have no. Can I have a snack? No. Eat your pizza. And he gets to the end, and he's like, I don't like it. There's no cheese on it. I'm like, you took the cheese off all the other parts. Just eat the pizza. So finally, I get him, like, after about 2.5 hours of negotiation, down to the crust. And he's like, I don't want to eat the crust. I'm like, fine, you don't have to eat the crust. And then Heather and Peyton come home, and my daughter Peyton, she goes, hey, can I have your crust? He goes, grabs his crust, runs over to the garbage can, and throws it in the garbage can. I'm like, boy, go grab that spoon, because we're about to not spare the rod in this house, glory to God. Some lady at the 9 a.m. service goes, did you really spank your son? I'm like, yeah. She was white. It's okay. She said, how many times? I said, one is all it took. Took the crust that he would not eat and went and threw it in the garbage can. Man, isn't that like us? Selfish ambition, selfishness, just care about, don't want other people to have, can't let people in front of us driving, can't let them have the parking spot. Just so upset. This is our flesh. This is what your flesh sounds like. Your voice sounds like insecurity. What do people think of me? Can I tell you what insecurity really is? It's a carnal word for the fear of man. Fear of man is what do people think? The fear of man is what causes you to lose your anointing. I was on the phone with Rodney Howard Brown this week, and I asked him, I said, in one sentence, how do you define the anointing? Here's what he said to me. The presence and power of God with supernatural ability to get the assignment or the job done. The fear of man is what will cause you to lose or forfeit your anointing. And this is usually where someone jumps in and says, you can't lose your anointing, we're under grace. No, you can. And you could also die under grace. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. Let me show you in God's word. Saul was king and he lost his anointing. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Last week I was talking about the boy Samuel who said, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. The boy Samuel grew up to be the prophet Samuel. And the prophet Samuel raised up a king that the people asked for. Watch this. But Saul was not a man after God's own heart. He was a man after the people's heart. And he said, I have sinned I have transgressed, I've committed of the Lord. This is 1 Samuel 15, 24. Because I feared the people, look at this, I obeyed their voice. The fear of man will cause you to obey people rather than obeying God. And here's what happened when Saul disobeyed the Lord. When he feared people. Verse 27 says, as Samuel turned to go away, Saul seized the skirt of his robe and it tore. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to one of your neighbors who is better than you. So watch, Saul is afraid of people. He fears man. So he cares more about what they think and their approval over what God thinks and what God's approval is. So he spiritually loses his anointing. And because he loses his anointing in the spirit, he tries to hold on to it in the natural. Enter a ministry of pride. So Saul was the anointed king for 2 years, but he reigned as king for 42. That means he had a 40-year reign of pride. How long is pride reigning in your life? Pride reigns as long as you fear men. Pride has a hold as long as you care about what people think. It's interesting, the lady that asked me, she goes, well, I can't believe you said that from the pulpit. You spanked your kids. She's like, I'd be worried about what CPS would say. I said, well, that's the fear of man right there. So now we're going to have the world tell us every part of our life and how we should behave, how we should worship, how we should parent as their kids are absolute carnal and worldly. But I'm afraid of what someone else may think. I'm afraid of what someone might think about what I post. I'm afraid about what someone might say or what would they think. And I don't want to offend people. I'm not trying to be personally on purpose offensive. The gospel is offensive enough. So how do I overcome the fear of man? I got to care more about what God thinks than what people think. Now I understand that this is a process. Because everybody deals with the fear of man. I deal with the fear of man. Nobody doesn't not want to be liked. Nobody wants to be talked bad about. Nobody wants to have, a website started about them and called false prophet. Just speaking from experience. You write a book on homosexuality, you'll get some websites about you. But watch, I care more about what God thinks than what man thinks. So I choose to honor him. Look what Galatians 1:10 says. For now am I seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Leave it up there. Let me read this backwards, and it's not satanic. It actually helps you have good doctrine. But if you're a servant of Christ, you can't be pleasing man. I'll put it like this. The moment you start serving man, you stop serving God. How many priests, how many churches are people pleasers? How many Christians are people pleasers? And we care more about what people think and if they're comfortable. I say this all the time. This service is not for you. In fact, I didn't ask any people if they thought we should have service today. I ask the Lord, because it's his service. The church service is for him. The fear of man is the first stage to being ruled by the second voice. It's the voice of fear. It's the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, put up on the screen, please. It says, for God has not given us, look at, a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline or a sound mind. Look at this up there. For God has not given us a, read that out loud, spirit. Fear is not a feeling.
You don't feel afraid. You're encountering a demonic spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, but it mimics the Holy Spirit. Fear has a presence and fear has a voice. Fear mimics the Holy Spirit. It is the anti-Holy Spirit. And when fear is present, it means the Holy Spirit is not. But when the Holy Spirit is present, it means that fear isn't. It's a demonic, false Holy Spirit. And it is a spirit that lies. The spirit of fear is a lying spirit. What does the spirit of fear say? It says that death is the worst thing that could happen to you. Hold on a second. How many are followers of Jesus? You believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. You've given your life to Jesus. You believe that Jesus is God. Let me see your hands, okay? So a lot of people here, okay? How about an MC Overflow? How about you, okay? Wonderful, okay? A lot of people. So here's the thing. If we believe that, then it means that when we die, we go to heaven. And we're in the presence of God. All day, every day, where there's no sickness, no disease. We have new bodies. The streets are made of gold. Crowns on our heads. Streets paved of gold. Okay. But the worst thing that can happen to you is for you to die. So if you die, you're in the presence of God. If you die, you're taken up into glory. You're in the cloud of witnesses. You are with Jesus. But fear says that's the worst thing that can happen to you. That's not the worst thing that can happen to you. That's actually the best thing that can happen to you. But by judging by your clap, you don't believe it. That sounds, I better, is everyone, anyone else clapping? Anyone else clapping? No, we're done clapping. Can I tell you why it's hard to clap? Because your voice of flesh and selfishness is really loud. Because you think about all of these temporal, lame, insignificant things that you value more than God. And that's why fear scares you so much. Because you have believed its lie. So did you get saved to fix your problems? Or did you get saved because you found God? Because according to the New Testament, there's trials and tribulations. And it'll get way worse than flight shutting down. This is just the beginning tremors of end days. Where there will be wars and rumors of wars and plague and famine. Watch, this is just the beginning. But watch, but just the beginning wipes people out. Because they've listened to the spirit of fear. Look at this, 1 Kings 19. Prophet Elijah, King Ahab, the witch Jezebel. Elijah just called fire down from heaven. Fire consumed the altar. He put 850 prophets to the sword and just participated in one of the greatest manifestation, the powers of God I've ever seen in my life. I have stood numerous times on Mount Carmel. We're going again in November. I have been to this place where this miracle took place. And look at this. The Bible says this in verse 2. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May God's deal with me ever so severely. By this time tomorrow, I don't make your life like one of the ones you killed." Verse 3. Elijah was afraid, ran for his life. He sat under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. Look at the spirit fear in operation. He just called down fire from heaven. Consumed an altar in front of a nation. Put 850 false demonic workers to the sword. And then one woman who was a witch from the pit of hell, who operated
in this Jezebel spirit that we know it. This one woman, from a biblical perspective, they never even met. She just sent a message of fear, a message through the news. And Elijah just sat there watching the news, watching the demonic report on his feet. And all of a sudden, fear, the spirit of fear, started rising in him. Watch this. She says, I'm going to kill you. So his prayer is that he would die because he was full of fear. Does that make sense to you? That's why you know it's spiritual. And I don't want to be insensitive to what's going on in America right now, but I can tell you right now, the result of what they say is happening doesn't make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, it means it's spiritual. He's dealing with the spirit of fear. The greatest virus that is in America today is not a corona. It is a spirit of fear that is plaguing our country and our nation. And the people of God are bowing to it. When you die, you go into the presence of God, which is the greatest place to be. Listen, death does not keep you from the presence of God. Death doesn't keep you from the perfect will of God, but fear will. So the spirit of fear is, if she wanted him dead and a messenger found him, couldn't an assassin find him? She didn't want him physically dead with God. She wanted him spiritually dead. And I don't mean to be politically incorrect on purpose. I just want to be spiritually correct. And you know what? Your physical health is not my highest priority. Because I know a lot of healthy people that go to hell. Your spiritual health is my top priority. 1 John says, beloved, above all, I wish that you would prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. Matthew chapter 10 says, don't fear what kills the body. Fear what kills the body and the soul. Listen, your spiritual health is my highest priority. Are you healthy? Or are you full of fear? Look at the scripture again. Can you put it up there? 2 Timothy 1:7. Once again, I want you to see this. It's so important you look at this. If you're watching at home, look at your Bible. It says, for God has what? Not given. So if God did not give it to us, who did? Let me just stop for a second because the Holy Spirit started stirring me up at the 9 o'clock service, and I was starting to get a little irritated. Now, it's interesting that the Lord has given us many things, many spiritual gifts. And isn't it interesting that we resist the spiritual gifts God has given? I don't know about tongues. Is there an interpreter? What if they're faking it? I don't know if I'm doing it right. Where do I put my hands? And so, you know, and I don't know, prophecy. I don't know. I think he's a false prophet. I'm not sure, but I read it online. He had a book about Jezebel. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. I don't know. And so what we do, you know, in fact, we're going to throw all of the gifts out because that's how much we don't like tongues. So God has given us gifts for today, to survive this fear, to survive this demonic attack, but the church is not equipped because we didn't want his gifts, because we already received a spirit of fear that wasn't from God. You know what you do to a gift that's sent to your house that has the wrong name on it? Why are you receiving demonic gifts from the pit of hell that weren't from God? Somebody needs to send it back to the pit of hell where it came from. Return to sender and receive the gift of God. If God didn't send it, who did? Satan did. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And the man said, then the man and his wife heard the voice of the God walking in the garden in the breeze of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord in the garden in the trees. Verse 9. So the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" "I heard the voice in the garden," he said. "Watch, I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." Verse 11. God said, "Who told you you were naked?" First mention of fear in the Bible. Satan lied, deceived, and brought fear, and they received it. He said, "Who told you?" Now, what I love about this is in this text in Genesis chapter 3, all three voices are speaking. Satan is talking. Look at man. Man or woman is thinking. Verse 6 says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eye, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, and he ate it." Look at this. The enemy spoke to her. She believed it, and then she started talking to herself. "Man, that is good-looking fruit. Man, that does, you know what? I don't know if that's really what God's word really meant." Do you see what Satan said? Satan said, "Did God really say, The devil has any new lines thousands of years later. Does the Bible really say that a man can't marry a man?" Yes, it does. Over and over. Actually, 7 times it says something like that. Well, does the Bible really say that, you know, that we have to be married? What if we just love each other in our heart? We're going to live together. No, the Bible says that you're in fornication and adultery, not only in your heart, but in practice. Me and God have an understanding. No, he put his understanding in his book. This is God's word, not your word. And one of the arts of hearing God is what God speaks to you will never trump what God's word says. Did God really say, you cannot respond, church? It is written. If you don't know what is written, you can't say Bethel sings a great response to this. Upper Rooms Worship has an awesome song. Mercy Culture has an awesome song about this. Something about the mountaintops and looking down. It's awesome. My heart shakes every time they sing it. You respond with God's word. Even Jesus himself quoted the text. We have to know God's word. It's a spirit of fear that comes. Spirit of fear to try to keep you from the presence of God. That's why we say fear go, Holy Spirit come. Because no spirit of fear can remain in the presence of God. I came to tell you today, the spirit of fear is an antichrist spirit. Revelation 13:6 also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or on the forehead, so that no one can buy, sell, unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast, and the number, it's his name. The fear, the spirit of fear, prepares the way for the spirit of the Antichrist. And it looks like he's been welcomed in America. The spirit of fear conditions you to comply to an antichrist spirit. Oh, what do we do? All of the grocery stores are out of food. Guess you got to be people of faith. If I don't get the mark, how am I going to eat? Being hungry is not the worst thing that could happen to you. What? What if I don't have any money? Then I suggest you stay in the presence of God.
Well, I have all these worries and I have all of these things and I don't know.
Has anyone noticed that all of the gods of America have shaken in 1 week? Has anyone noticed the God of sports, the God of entertainment, the God of media, the God of money have all been shaken in 1 week? And there's only one God that is still standing. His name is Yahweh. His name is Jehovah. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the first. He's the last. We serve a God that is not dead. He is alive. Fear conditions you to not be in the perfect will of God. Do you know what the mark of the beast is intended for? To make sure you never get into the perfect will of God. So fear is conditioning you to not be in the perfect will, because the spirit of fear will keep you out of the perfect will of God and will keep you out of promise. Let me show you in the text. This is awesome. Numbers chapter 14, beginning in verse 30, it's talking about 12 spies that went into the promised land. And out of these 12 spies, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, 10 came back with a negative report, but 2 came back with a positive report. In Numbers 14, 30, it says they brought... In verse 32, they brought the people a bad report, or they brought the people the spirit of fear. Verse 33, it says this, that we seemed to ourselves, look at that flesh kicking in, like grasshoppers in our own sight. So they come with the bad report, and here's what scripture says. It says that the spirit of fear began to spread through the camp like a virus. Only 10 had the virus of fear, but it infected the entire nation. And now everybody is panicking. We're like grasshoppers and we can't do it and we can't take them on. And now we can't go and they're going to kill us and we can't make it. And look what happened. And God said, okay, you won't go. You won't get in. The people of fear revealed the people of faith. Because there was only 2. Look at this. Look at this crazy. Verse 33, if you have that ready. It says, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness for 40 years and shall suffer for your faithlessness. Ooh. Can I tell you who the spirit of fear attacks first? The faithless. Because there's already a place for that voice in you, because there's no faith. But faith keeps fear out. Joshua and Caleb, the scripture says, had a different spirit. Nah. They didn't have the spirit of fear. Like everybody else had, they had a spirit of faith. So when fear tried to come in, watch, faith kept it out. They said, no, we could take them down. And it has nothing to do with our size. It has nothing to do with our skill. It has nothing to do with our bank account. It has nothing to do with our economic status. It has to do with our God. So those that were full of faith got to go in. But those that were full of fear, not one. Not one got into the promised land. Fear is designed to keep you out of the promises of God. Fear is designed to keep you out of the perfect will of God. A couple weeks ago, I was driving and praying. And if you're unaware, the vision of our church, what God has shown us, is not one campus. There will be multiple campuses of Mercy Culture. And we're 11 months old and have this first beautiful campus and a lot of needs in this campus, a lot of renovations that need to be done. And I felt the Holy Spirit draw me into this other property. And I get on the property and I'm like,
this is crazy, this is crazy. We can't buy another church. This is crazy. We're 11 months old. We can't do this. And I started walking around it. I was like, hold on a second. I'm on a fast. And I was on a 40-day fast, and I was on the 30th day. And I said, I've been fasting for 30 days for 27 other churches, miracle buildings. Why not believe God for one more? And then I remembered the prophetic word that Todd White gave me, that 2020 would be an explosion of favor. And then the word of Olin Griffin that you weren't thinking too big. The word from Pastor Heather a few weeks ago, my wife, about time to buy land and build altars. I'm going through all these words that God is speaking. And I'm like, I know this is crazy. And you know, this is not ambition. We're not trying to be fast growing cool. But we're about, I mean, not today because of the rules by the government. But we're typically about 60% occupancy at 11 months old. We have to build the new children's wing over there to hold the kids. Like, we have to plan for growth. And I never thought when the Lord told me to go to two services is because on week one, there'd be people parking on the grass and kids turned away from the children's ministry because it grew so much. And so I'm thinking about all this stuff and I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, this could be the Lord. And then the next day I brought Pastor Steve and we started walking around the property and I'm showing him the property and he goes to leave it, and all of a sudden, I felt like talons come on my shoulder. And I literally felt the spirit of fear climb on me. And I started hearing thoughts like, oh, you don't have enough money for this, and you don't want to be a burden to the people, and your church is too young, and what if they don't get behind this, and what if they think you're a selfish ambition, and what if they think you're crazy, and you're going to be looking like a bad leader, and all these thoughts coming to me. I literally, physically felt fear on me. And then this scripture came to my mind. I said, whoa, fear wasn't on me yesterday. The spirit of fear did not want me on the property. The spirit of fear did not want Mercy Culture on the property. Because if we had one foot on this side of town and one foot on that side of town, you're ready for a fight. You're positioned to reach the city. When you have one foot on one, all of a sudden I realize the spirit of fear is designed to keep me out. I started calling elders. I started calling apostolic elders. I started calling lenders. I started the process of faith because I said, okay, if I feel fear, if I feel it coming on me, I know it's not a feeling. It's a spirit and it's designed to keep me out, and I will not let the spirit of fear keep me from one single promise of God. Say, Landon, do you get afraid? Oh, absolutely. So what do? I choose to fear God more. Heard one preacher say, you don't have to fear God. God's not a man to be afraid. And because of his inability to articulate the word of God, he encouraged people to be fearless in the presence of God. And people don't understand a holy fear. It's not to be afraid of God. It's to be terrified to be out of his perfect will. It's to be terrified to not be pleasing him. If you're living in sin, you've lost the fear of the Lord. Because you're not terrified of not pleasing him any longer. Listen, it's not about what sins can you make to be good or bad. It's how do I live to please God? Do my thoughts please him? Do my actions please him? Do my finances please him? Does my heart please him? Does my motives please him? The fear of the Lord, worship team, come and join me, is to be terrified of not being in his presence. I am terrified of not pleasing God. I am so afraid of not pleasing God that I don't bow to fear. when fear comes to me. I am so afraid of not pleasing God. I want you to hear my heart. I know God's not mad at me. I didn't say I was afraid of him being mad at me. His mercy's new every morning. I said I want him pleased with me. I don't want well done and good faithful servant at the end of my life. I want well done, good and faithful servant every day. This morning I was running on Trinity Trail. I saw two people. I was asking the Lord for something. It wasn't money. It was a spiritual gift. And the Lord said, if you want it, shout for it. He said, as loud as you can. First thought that came to my head, what if there's more than two people out here? Second thought that came to my head, I can't shout. I got to preach today. I need to conserve this bad boy. Third thought that came to my head was, how bad do you want it? So I'm running, feeling like Rocky. Adrian! I'm just shouting as loud as I can. Shouting, looking, running, shouting. Get done shouting. First thought that goes to my head was, was that as loud as I could? I hear the voice of fear too. Do you know what you do when you hear the voice of fear? The same thing you do when you hear the Holy Spirit. You talk back to it. When the Holy Spirit speaks, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. When fear speaks, fear, I don't serve you. My knee won't bow to you. You didn't die for me. You're not my healer. You're not my comforter. You're not my God. You are a false spirit. You are an anti-Holy Spirit. And your voice and your presence will be thrown into a lake of fire forever. And I serve you, notice. I can't bow to you. Because I'm already bowed before the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not bow to the gods of the world because their hearts were already bowed to Yahweh. If you're already bowing, you can't bow again. If you're already serving the Holy Spirit, there's no other spirit to serve. There's no other spirit to bow to. There's no other spirit to say yes to, because I already said yes to him. There's no presence for fear in my life. I've already made room. I already gave the Holy Spirit room. There's no more room for fear. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for disease. There's no room for demonic activity. There's only room for the Holy Spirit. There's one God in this room. There's only room for one God in America. His name is Yahweh. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's one God with three persons. He's Father, He's Son, He's Holy Spirit. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And where His presence is, fear cannot remain. Where His presence is, fear can't live. That's why we say, fear, you have to go. Fear, you have to bow. Chains, you have to break.
because we've already given our lives to you, God. We've already given our hearts to you, God. We've already given everything we have to you, God. Come on, all over this place. Sing this. Hey. Be honest with me. Everybody in MC Central, be honest with me. Everybody watching online, be honest. How many this week, this month, this year, you have heard the voice of fear talk to you? Let me see your hands. I think it's every single person in the room, everyone in MC Central, and I'm guessing everybody walking online. So when you hear fear talk, I got good news for you. If you can hear the voice of fear, then you have spiritual ears already to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The third voice, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." An art of hearing God is recognizing which voice is talking to you. All over this place, this is what we're going to do. We're going to enter into a time of spiritual warfare. So feel free to get out of your seats or get somewhere comfortable. Even in MC Central, feel free to walk around. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to tell Daddy, tell Abba, tell the Father on fear. I want you to tell God what fear is saying to you. So if he's saying your children are going to be harmed, tell the Father. If he's saying you're going to lose your job, tell the Father. If he's saying you're not going to make your mortgage, you're going to lose your house, tell the Father. If he's saying you're going to run out of money, then tell the Father. If he's going to say you're going to die, then tell the Father. If he tells you, whatever lie he tells you, right now, tell on him. Do it right now. Tell the Father. Tell the Father right now. Every lie, expose it. Every lie, expose it. Every lie, expose it right now. Come on. How he's attacked you. Has he attacked your body? Has he attacked your mind? Has he attacked your confidence? Has he attacked your future? Has he attacked your anointing? What promises has he lied about? Come on. What things has he said to you right now? Come on. Expose it right now. Come on. In MC Central, if you're listening on the podcast, say it in your car. If you're watching at home, say it right now. We expose every lie that we're going to be out of money. We expose every lie that we're going to be sick in our bodies. We expose every lie that we're going to have a disease. Father, the enemy told me I'm going to die. The enemy told me I was going to get sick. The enemy told me I was going to get cancer like my mom. The enemy told me I'm going to get this like my dad. The enemy told me I was a failure. Tell on him right now. Tell on him right now. Tell on him right now. The enemy told me my ministry's over. The enemy told me I don't have an anointing. The enemy told me God didn't want to use me. The enemy told me my marriage was my fault. The enemy told me that this situation is going to be like the last situation. Tell on him right now. Now here's what I want you to do. It's as you have told on fear, once you've exposed his words, now remove him from your presence. All over this auditorium, if you're laying down, just do what you're doing. But if you're not laying down, lift your hands all over this MC Central, all over. Come on, if you're listening, wherever you are. If you're driving, keep one hand on the wheel and one hand in the air and start declaring right now, fear, go. Fear, bow. Fear, go. Fear, bow. Fear, go. Holy Spirit, come. Fear, go. Holy Spirit, come. Come on. Fear, go. Holy Spirit, come. Fear, you have to go. Holy Spirit, come. Fear, you leave our bodies now. You leave our minds now. You leave our church now. You leave our city now. You leave our family now. You leave our home now. Fear, you have to go. Holy Spirit, won't you come?
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.